Lord, we come to you knowing that without you we're nothing, and yet with you all things are possible. And I ask that we can learn to imagine like you imagine, to think like you think, to think big, to think broad, and to think deep, and help us to love one another with your true love. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us that ability. Help us to not quench you, Holy Spirit, as you try to work in and through us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today we're up to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. I was kind of joking, maybe halfway serious with Kathy. Some of the verses, if you've read ahead, we're going to get to some tough sections. It's going to talk about roles of husbands and wives and slaves and masters and things like that. You know, children obey your parents. I think everybody in this room would buy that one. Yeah, that's good. Children obey your parents, you know. But honor your father and mother, that might be a little tougher. Even sometimes in death, we still continue to dishonor parents if we're not careful. So, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in Scripture that we don't always want to hear. And maybe because culturally we think we've moved beyond certain things, that we don't have to hear it the way that Scripture says it. And there may be a few things in Scripture that are cultural relatives, where it was more appropriate to that particular culture at that time. But I don't think that God says that we need to just take a vote on morality, and we get to pick and choose what's moral and what's not. And so as we move forward, there's going to be some difficult things. So I'm going really, really slow, so that we don't get to that stuff as quick. Because I'm really hoping that God's going to maybe come back before then or give me wisdom on how to share it appropriately and according to His way and His will. So just be in prayer for me as we move in that direction. This particular verse, though, Ephesians 5:16, make the most of every opportunity. In King James Version, that would be translated, redeem the time. We're to be redeeming the time. We're supposed to buy back that time that we've lost through poor decisions, through negligence, through all the things. How many of us wish that we would have had more time with our kids when they were little? How many of us wish that, you know, there's all these things. Well, there's ways that we can redeem that time as we move forward in the light in Christ. And He can bring back the goodness and the grace that we somehow missed out on during a time period. I love that Scripture says all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called, and it works according to His purpose. So even the mistakes we made as parents, even the problems that we've had in relationship with one another, with others, those things can work out for the better. When we look at our nation and much of what our nation was founded on was flawed because it was humans putting all this together, but much of it was also very positive. So as we look at, you know, how do we move forward? How do we love the people around us and redeem the time? We've got a friend named Ron Salee. I think some of you have probably met him. He may have even preached here a couple times when you were here. He used to be the pastor down in Machias. He's now running the Contenders Discipleship Initiative program with Village Missions. And by the way, that's just going gangbusters now during the COVID stay home orders that so many states have. A lot of people had time to do online training, and they've had hundreds and hundreds of individuals have signed up for that and started taking these online seminary classes for free. So if you're looking for something to do and you're bored, that's one way to redeem the time, is to go back and get more training and continue to grow and learn. But Ron put a Facebook post that Kathy drew to my attention. Was that this morning or last night?
Last night.
As a pastor, he was also in the volunteer fire department, and he'd worked his way up to captain. He was a captain in the department, and there was just one black gentleman in the entire department. And he had come to Ron as a captain and said that he felt like he'd been discriminated against, and that he was being treated poorly because of his color and some other things. And Ron didn't see it. And he pretty much said, well, that's not how I see it. I don't see anything like that at all. And he pretty much just, without investigating or looking into it, wrote it off. And the gentleman ended up leaving the department, you know, a little bit later, whatever. And Ron, in time, figured out, yeah, what he was saying was really true, that people had been mistreating him because of his race. People had been prejudiced against him, and he probably never would have been able to advance in the ranks there just because of the color of his skin. And he was a good firefighter, good worker. And so Ron is talking about how all of us have to continually renew and refresh our minds and to look back and say, okay, well, you know, you could just get a guilt trip and feel terrible about that forever, or you can change. And you know, you probably can't go back and make everything right. Every mistake that you made, you're not going to be able to go back and fix it. We can't return in time. And yet God can turn those things in our hearts and in the hearts of others, and he can make good out of something that doesn't appear to be good. And so, you know, I appreciate him being willing to say even now, and Ron's a little bit older than Kathy and I even. What is he, in his 70s? And he's happy to say he still has a lot to learn, and he's still changing and growing. And so, you know, if you get a chance to see him again, and he may come and preach again sometime, you never know. Just love him and give him some of your wisdom, because the whole point of Christianity is none of us have all truth. God is going to be able to guide us in truth, but oftentimes he does that through fellow believers, and it's iron sharpening iron. It's one person encouraging and provoking the other one to love. And as we move forward, we're to make the most of every opportunity. Leaving last week's verse in with it, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And it says, because the days are evil. There's a reason that we're supposed to be illuminating the light of Jesus Christ. It's because there's a need for light. We're living in a dark world. There's a reason that we need to act as wise, to live as wise, to walk as a wise person. Being careful how we live, how we walk. Making the most of every opportunity. And are we doing things that are going to matter? Are they going to matter to the people around us today? Are they going to matter to kingdom building in the future? I know that I can find lots and lots of ways to occupy my time. And some of them are ways that are going to build me up and help me, and some of them are ways that are going to help others around me. And some of them are frankly just occupying my time. Killing time would be another way to put it. Wasting time. So if we're trying to make the most of every opportunity, we're going to find ways to be guided by God and to walk in the light continuously, so that when we are making decisions, life decisions, little decisions, big decisions, doesn't seem to matter, are we being guided by Holy Spirit? Are we led by the Lord in ways that are going to build up his kingdom? Are we being guided and led in ways that are going to improve the relationships around us? When you find that your mind is leaning towards something, you know, ask yourself, ask God, is this from God or is this just a distraction? If you're thinking about a particular individual, maybe God's laid that person on your heart just so you can pray for them. Maybe he's actually laid that person on your heart so you can reach out to them. You know, there's things that happen in our lives, and we're going along, and it's like, well, I hadn't thought about him in 20 years. But, you know, thank you, Lord, for that. And if there's something else I need to do, lead me to that next step so that I can redeem the time. Because maybe there's things in our past that can be fixed. Maybe there's things in our past that can be improved upon. So how do we make the most of every opportunity? Now, if you read the top there, this is a quote from Winston Churchill, not the Bible. Okay, this is not in the Bible, but I think sometimes people end up getting things that are close to biblical truth. Or they have some sense of truth in them. And one thing that Winston Churchill said, that he's known to say anyway, sometimes with quotes, you never know for sure if people actually said them or not. If you read it on the internet, you know it's true, but otherwise, you know, these books and things where they have quotes in them, you never know about those. Never let a good crisis go to waste. You think about some of the crises that happened during Winston Churchill's time in power. And that was part of his philosophy. It probably was something that dates even back further to Machiavelli. Again, not the Bible. Never waste the opportunity offered by a good crisis. Kind of the same thing, just worded a little differently. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it? Then we've got somebody that I'm sure you're all very fond of. He was working in the Obama administration at the time, Rahm Emanuel. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And then he explained it a little better. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before. A couple quick examples, at least one. Every time there's a school shooting, there's a group of people that decide, okay, we haven't been able to get the gun control that we want yet. Maybe we can get it now. Because the images of those kids that get played and repeated over and over again should be enough to soften people's hearts, to want to do something. And we know that they're desiring to do something, so if we can slip in there right now and make sure they want to do the same thing that we've wanted done in the first place. I think, you know, even when I look at the unrest in the city streets over the last month or so, and there's people that have agendas that are trying to circumvent that. When you think about what happened down in Seattle with Chaz or Chop, it didn't last very long. It's basically done now. It's you know, there's a little bit of something going on there now, but it's not what some of the people that originally did this dreamed that it could become. Sin ruled. People jumped in there with their own agendas and their own desires, and all of a sudden you had competing factions that all wanted to take control of this situation so that they could not let this serious crisis go to waste. There was everything in every single possible direction. We're talking about from people thinking that this is a great way to prove that we need the right to bear arms, and others are thinking that it's a great way to prove that we should not have any weapons in the world, and, you know, everything in between. There's, if you read in the literature of Black Lives Matter, what some of the founding individuals really want to take place through their movement, a lot of it has nothing to do with Black Lives Mattering. There's an agenda that's being pushed, and some of that agenda is good and some of it is really terrible. And looking at the mix and trying to find out, okay, what do we do and where do we turn for guidance? I hope we turn to Scripture and we turn to the heart of God for guidance, where He loves everyone and everyone's created in His image and everyone does matter. It's dangerous, though, to just follow the leaders if we don't know where they're trying to take us. And there's a path of wickedness that's prevalent in our country and getting more prevalent. And it seems like every time there's a crisis, the people that want to take our country down further, and they may not even consciously be doing this. Okay, let's give credit where credit's due. The enemy, the devil, Satan, is battling. There's a spiritual battle going on. And the forces of darkness and the forces of righteousness are battling one another. Which ones are we listening to? How are we going to make the most of every opportunity if we don't even know for sure where everybody stands and what's going on? Because people can be saying the right things and then doing something else, or be, you know, I've heard a number of politicians that talk about how important it is to stay elected because they can't be of any service if they're not continually in office. But then when they're in office, all they can think about is we need to get elected again. So the first day in office, they're still watching their back and trying to guess, okay, what's the public sentiment right now, and how can I stay in the graces of the electorate? And you know, some of them probably originally wanted to actually do some good when they got in office. And they may even have some great ideas. But unless the people empower them in the United States, that's kind of how it works. If we don't empower them to do the right thing, they're going to keep just doing whatever it is to get them reelected again. And you've been able to watch some pretty swift shifts in morality. I can find evil on every side. Okay? That's not difficult. I'm against abortion. I think that killing children in the womb is a terrible thing. But some people thought they were so righteous in their views of that, that they decided they were going to go and kill abortion doctors or burn down abortion clinics. That's wrong. That's evil. It's okay. I think that we need to do something about justice for all races. And yet, it doesn't mean that we should go in and loot stores and burn things down. And the message gets taken quickly. Who benefits from all this chaos? The people that look at this statement like this and say, well, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. So the media, they've got a serious crisis. What are they going to do? Well, if it burns, it leads. If it bleeds, it leads. And they put fire and blood on the front, and they loop it on the TV over and over and over and over again, and everybody's just sucked in and they're watching that. And then when they get bored with that, then they try to switch to something else. We're kind of back into the same news cycle thing. It's maybe not changing as quickly as it did for a while there. But the media is just trying to find out, okay, what's going to get people to click on the button, to look at our site, to do this, to do that. And all they want is to try to build themselves up. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. So when they think, make the most of every opportunity, they're thinking, okay, if I make the most of this opportunity, I'm going to get some benefit out of it. I'm going to be able to change the public's view of something that goes more towards what my views were. And so whether you're talking about Fox News on one side or CNN on the other side or anything in between, you're going to find all of those media forms are trying to push you into their thought process. And they're using the same crisis to tell a different story. Because they think that they can get people to do things that they wouldn't have done normally. And we are finding extreme action, where people are doing a lot of stuff that they normally wouldn't do. Most people wouldn't go and loot and burn buildings just as a matter of preference. They probably don't wake up in the morning thinking, I wonder what we can go steal and loot today. Some people think that way. And their minds are corrupt, but I don't think the majority of people think that way. If you're thinking about the politicians, whether we're talking about politicians on the Democratic side or the Republican side, they look at what's going on in the world right now. Okay, we've got a pandemic. We've got social unrest. How can we find a way to benefit ourselves from this? How can we get some things passed? Legislation sometimes flies through when there's crisis that you could never get through otherwise. It wasn't that many months ago where Andrew Wang, that's the gentleman's name that was running for president, that was saying everybody should get a base salary just for being alive. Everyone should, you know, how about $1,000 a month? Everybody should just get $1,000 a month. The world would be a better place for it. Everybody from every side was scoffing at him and laughing at him and thinking it was a terrible thing. And what's the first thing they did when they realized that the economy's tanking because we just shut the government down, we shut every business down, we shut everything else down, and it's like, oh, well, I know what we need to do. Let's give everybody some money. His idea sounded crazy and wacko, and now it's like, no, you really need to do that more, and why aren't we doing it again? How did that shift so quickly? There was a crisis, and somebody saw a way to jump into that. How do you make the most of every opportunity? Remember, these three quotes that I just gave were not from the Bible, but I think they explain kind of some biblical things. Before I shift to the next slide, and we're going to get into Scripture pretty quick here, and even though I'm going to go too long, I hope you love me anyway. How many of you have had a medical emergency of some sort and you go and try to get help? And you want the doctors to make the most of that opportunity, because here you are, something's wrong, something's visibly wrong, it needs fixed, but you don't just want that one symptom to go away. It's like, how can you holistically find a way to get to the point where you have wellness again? So if you have a heart problem and you go in and see a cardiologist, you don't want them just saying, okay, I can fix your heart, your lungs are going to explode soon, and then we don't care about that as long as your heart's fixed. No, you want them to look at the whole picture. And you want your physician to check, and it's like, okay, well, thank you, doctor, for telling me that I probably am overweight and I need to change my diet and my exercise plans. Oh, you mean I'm not sleeping enough? 2 hours a night's not enough? Maybe I need to change that? Should I do a sleep study because I can't sleep? Or when I'm sleeping, I'm so dead that my wife's not sure if I'm alive or not and has to poke me to see if I'm still breathing? You know, you start looking at the full picture. And so when you're in crisis, you do try to move forward and do the right thing and make sure that everything's proper. I know that oftentimes the way people meet Jesus is they're in crisis. Now, I don't want that to become our methodology. Look around, wait for people to be in crisis, and then pounce on them and introduce them to Jesus. We should be trying to introduce people to Jesus just through our lifestyle and our words all the time. But when they're in crisis, they may be more willing to hear. They may be more willing to look. And there may be more of a possibility of them saying, yeah, I guess I can't do this on my own. I need a higher power. You mean you know a higher power? Why didn't you tell me before? Oh, you did? I didn't listen? Okay. So, these verses, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. This making the most of every opportunity thing. When I look at Colossians, the little letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. There's that phrase again. How do you do that? Well, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. If your conversations with people are full of grace, they're going to be willing to talk with you. They'll be willing to listen, and then you can answer them, and maybe with Holy Spirit power, you can guide and direct and help in ways that you wouldn't be able to if you're coming at them in a harsh manner. It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. It's not, you know, somebody with a big stick saying, you better repent or you're going to get beat. That's not usually what changes our hearts. That might change our actions. I know as a school teacher, sometimes that teacher look was enough to get the kids to obey, but it didn't change their hearts. How do you reach people? You've got to do it with love, with relationship, with care, with kindness. So as we make the most of every opportunity, looking in Romans, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Now, wait a minute. Why would we glory in sufferings? And he gives us a little thing here. It's like, you know, you're all going to suffer. That's reality. In this world, you will have trouble. That's a promise from Jesus. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Now, how many of you are like, okay, I think I've got enough character, Lord. You can stop any time. And character, hope. There's a growth process. We don't grow as well if everything's rosy and everything's fine as we do when things are troubling and we're having suffering going on in our lives. The strongest trees in the forest are ones that have been beaten by the wind. And if you just think about, you know, strength, how much strength do we have may depend on how much trial and trouble and tribulation have we gone through. You want to build your muscles up? You kind of have to work them, and you have to work them to resistance so that they're beyond what's comfortable. And it's the same thing, I think, in our minds. If we don't stretch our minds a little bit and start listening to the Father so He can guide and direct us and change us and renew us. In Proverbs, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. If we find what God's plan and purpose is in our lives, and we commit our plans to God, He can bring that to good. He can bring those plans to the point where goodness in our life has been established. 1 Corinthians, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. People can have long conversations about should you be a vegan or not a vegan? How much red meat should you eat? Should you just have fish? There's all these conversations. And here in Corinthians and also in Romans 14, it's pretty much whatever you're doing, do it as unto the Lord. Do it all for the glory of God. Because if we're not doing something to glorify God, are we making the most of that opportunity? 1 Peter, the end of all things is near. Lord, come quickly. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. You know what? The world's about to end. There's all kinds of problems. Wow, let's pray. I need to have a sober mind and I need to be alert so that I can communicate with the guy that can fix it. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. It's like, how do we make the most of every opportunity? Love each other. Pray to the Father who can change things and make things right. If you've got sin in your life, repent. If you've got gifts that God's given you, use them. Use them to the fullest extent. If He's given you the ability to love other people, love deeply. Little story in Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Okay, so we've got a little simile story going on here, right? He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." The righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" I don't remember any of that. The King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Make the most of every opportunity. How do you do that? Just be Jesus in the world. You see people in need, be there for them. Whatever their need is, you know, if somebody's thirsty, you don't have to do CPR on them. You give them a drink. Give people what they need. Then he will say to those on His left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, not clothers. And you did not clothe me or clothe me. I don't know where that's coming from. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Another place in Matthew, this is going back to the Sermon on the Mount. It's, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Making the most of every opportunity. How do we make the most of every opportunity? We invest into the kingdom. We love even the unlovable. We know the days are evil. That doesn't give us excuse to go around judging and pointing fingers. It gives us a reason to illuminate the light of God to others, making the most of every opportunity. Thank you, Jesus, that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and in your power, in your might, even though all things have been placed under your authority, you still said, hey, Tony, I love you. Want to be in my family? Jesus, yes, we want to be in your family. We want to love you back. We want our response to be, yes, I love you too, Lord. Amen.